And we're in John chapter 4, so let's commit the time to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the day, and thank you that we can come aside from the various things within this world and the cares of this world, and Lord, just think about you and have your word read and Lord explained, and as we are able to reflect upon our Saviour, I pray that we would be encouraged for being here this day. And so we thank you for the time and ask for your blessing to be upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure I don't have to convince you that our body is an amazing thing. It's able to tell us what it needs even when we don't realize that we need it. And that happens in many areas, from hunger to sleep, and particularly thirst in these very hot days that we are living in, well, not today, but generally in the last few weeks. We can go all day, not think about drinking anything, and then all of a sudden our body just screams out for it, and that's all that we can think about. And it's our body telling us that it is in great need of some sort of fluid, particularly water. And I know at times I can be working all day, don't even think about having a drink of water, and then I can't think of anything else. And that's a God-given feeling that our body has in telling us that we're missing something and it's in serious need of water. And since we're having so many hot days and thirst often seems to be something on our mind, I thought we would look at a lady that we find in the Gospel of John who was obviously thirsty. She was thirsty physically because we find her at a well collecting water, but she was more than physically thirsty. She was more than just dry in her mouth. We find and we discover that she was spiritually thirsty as well, and she was dry in her soul. As I said, when we're physically thirsty, it's our body telling us that we're missing something. And when we are spiritually thirsty and we feel empty within, we feel as though there's something missing in our life, that is our soul telling us that it is missing something as well. Sadly, for many people, they don't even know what their need is. So they try all types of substitutes in this world to try and quench their thirsty soul. And that's why we have people seeking so many material goods, thinking that if I'm rich, well, then I'll be happy and that thirst within my soul will disappear. But you can listen to many rich people and they can say that you can have the best house and everything around, but you can still be very empty inside. And that doesn't satisfy that loneliness within. Some try drugs, alcohol, some try work and they are obsessed with their work and so they try and fill up that emptiness there. Some people even try religion. And there are many people trying to satisfy that thirst within their soul simply through religious acts. It's like a man, though, drinking a glass of petrol to satisfy his thirst. It's liquid, yes, but it's not going to do too much for you. In fact, it's going to make things just worse. And many people try and fill that thirst within their soul with things that are only just going to bring greater harm. I'm sure we've all been thirsty within our soul at some stage. And I believe that this thirsty lady that we find in John was the same. She had a thirst physically, but she was thirsty within her soul. But Jesus was able to help her, and he was able to satisfy her. Just like I believe that he can satisfy every person that walks upon this earth who has that same sort of thirst. And we're introduced to this time in John chapter 4, and I'd like to read, first of all, verses 1 to 3. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee." Now, if you read the previous verse, you'd read how that the Pharisees went and confronted John the Baptist for various reasons. They were starting to get a little bit antsy and they weren't too happy with what was happening with John the Baptist preaching repentance and then Jesus also preaching at this time. And so Jesus knew that the Pharisees were getting stirred up, and so he decided to go to Galilee. He was in Judea, this area, and he wanted to go up to Galilee. And smack bang in between Judea and Galilee was Samaria. And so this is why John possibly said what he did in verse 4, where it says, "And he must needs go through Samaria." And so John could be saying here that Jesus had to go from Judea to Galilee, and so he needed to go through Samaria to get there on his travel. That's one way you can interpret verse 4. But there is a little problem with interpreting it as simply as that, and that is most of the Jews, when they were travelling from Judea to Galilee, they didn't go through Samaria. You could go right around it. And so if those who were going north had travelled the long way around and bypassed Samaria and go to Galilee, and if they were heading from Galilee down, well, then they would bypass Samaria and go the long way around as well. And so there were other ways to go to Galilee other than through Samaria. Jesus didn't have to go through that way just by means of travel. But it says here that he needs go through. He must needs go through Samaria. And I do believe that there is a deeper meaning to this, and that is there was a reason for him wanting to go there, and that is there was a lady there with a thirsty soul that he wanted to meet. There was a reason. Jesus wasn't merrily going through Samaria because it was the quickest or the only way to Galilee. He had an appointment with someone. Someone who didn't know it at the time, but Jesus did, and he needed to spend time with this lady. And we meet up with this lady in verses 5 to 7, where we read, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour," so midday. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." So we get the picture. It's midday, hottest time of the day in those parts. Jesus has been walking all morning. He's tired, he's weary, he's thirsty. He stops at a well and he sits down on the edge of the well. And then comes this lady, a Samaritan woman, to draw water from the well. Now, there is one thing to take note of in regards to the time of the day. Being midday shows that this wasn't a normal thing for someone to come and draw water. It's the hottest time of the day. Normally, the ladies would go in the early time of the day or in the later afternoon when it was cooler. Generally, those that went at midday were those who didn't want to be seen by others. Those who may have had a reputation of some sort, those who were embarrassed to meet up with others, and so they would go at midday when there would be hardly anyone around. And that's why we have this discussion with Jesus with this one lady and no one else is there trying to get water at the same time. There's not a bunch of other ladies waiting in line. There was just Jesus and this lady. And we know, knowing the background to this lady, we can see why she wanted to go by herself. She wasn't just a Samaritan, which made her low in the sight of all the Jews, but she was even a lady that was thought of as low amongst the Samaritans. And so if you want to get someone who probably felt pretty bad about herself, this is a lady. And so she walks up to this well, thinking that not many people would be around, and that's true, there wasn't, but she discovers there's a man sitting at the side of the well, on the well, and it was a Jew. A Jew that she had never met before. But we know that Jesus knew her. Jesus knew where she lived. He knew what type of life she had lived. And he also knew what she needed the most. He knew everything about her. He knew that she had a thirsty soul. And she may have thought this meeting was just by chance or some sort of coincidence, but not for Christ. He had a meeting with this lady. And I think it's good for us to remember that we do have a sovereign God. And he is able to bring to pass various circumstances to fulfill his will in the lives of people. And many times, things happen that may seem like a coincidence. People come across our path, or we come across other people's paths. And it may not mean much to us, but God has a plan in doing so. And you hear testimonies of people, how they were happy at work, and then this new person started to work there. They were a Christian, and then they started to talk to them, and then they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through that person. Was that a coincidence or God's hand? I know there's a testimony of a friend of mine called Johan, and his testimony is, lived a life, knew there was a God, but that's about it. He went out to his letterbox, he went to get his mail, and there was a tract. And for once, he decided to read it, and it was a gospel tract, and there he received Christ as his Saviour. And he rang up the man whose address it was there in Coffs Harbour, and he still attends the church there at Coffs Harbour to this day. Coincidence or not? Now, the Lord has a hand, and before all of us were saved, the Lord knew who we were. He knew we were lost, and like a good shepherd, he searches for his lost sheep. And he brought about people in our lives. For some of us, or a lot of us, we had parents, and so we had it right there for us. For other people, it was friends, workmates, or whoever it may be. But he brings people into our life. And as Christians, we need to understand that God uses us to bring us into people's lives as well. And so if we find ourselves in a different job or a different area and there are unsaved people around, realize, hey, God is probably wanting me to use me in that way. If something happens, our car breaks down, or we find ourselves somewhere where we never planned to be, maybe God has a reason for that. He wants us to be in a place just for that moment. You know, I was buying some tiles last week, and I was went to see the guy in the store, and it was a factory, and he said, yep, go and get your car ready and I'll bring it out to you. And so as I was walking out to the car, there was one of the storemen, he was loading up something to one of the couriers. And as I'm walking by, this storeman says, so what do you think born-again believers believe? And I'm pricked my ears up and they looked at me like, hey, why are you listening in? And so I went to the car and I'm listening, and he says, I don't know, something about this Jesus or whatever, and sort of I couldn't hear everything they were saying. And so anyway, that delivery guy went off, and I got all my tiles, and that storeman was just there checking something by himself. So I went and got one of our church tracks, and I walked up to him and I put it down next to him, and I said, hey buddy, that might explain the question that you asked that fella. I go, my number's on it, you can give me a ring whenever you want. And he picked it up and goes, oh, thanks. And I just walked off. Now, coincidence or was God in it? I don't know what that is. I don't know what that will come of. But understand that there are times when we are places where we don't think we should be, but God has a reason for it. And I guess every Jew would have said to Jesus, you should not be there in Samaria. That's a bad place to be for a Jew. But it was the right place for the Lord Jesus. He wanted to meet this Samaritan lady. And meet this lady, he did. And Jesus had sent all his disciples away into town to get rid of them, I dare say, so they won't be a distraction or ruin anything. Maybe they met this lady on the way, crossed paths, and they went on the other side and ignored her. But nonetheless, he got rid of the disciples, and so he was right there when this lady came. And when she did come to the well, he did something that most Jews would never do, and he spoke to her and said, could you give me something to drink? That doesn't seem anything too important for us. But we see in verse 9, this was a big thing. It says there, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? And then John explains, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. A Jew wasn't to talk to a Samaritan. They weren't to eat. They weren't to drink with them. I was going to say they weren't to eat a Samaritan. No, they weren't to eat with Samaritans, and they weren't to drink with Samaritans. They certainly weren't to go into their homes, and so on. And so to the Jews, the Samaritan was the lowest of the low. And having a lady come at the hottest time of the day, I dare say that's even more of a cause not to speak to this lady. But Jesus, being the God who is the respecter of no persons and cares for her soul, asked her for a drink. And then Jesus gives a reply to her after she was shocked. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water." So what Jesus basically said to her was, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, you would be asking me for the living water that I can give you. Jesus was saying, you don't realize who I am. And you don't realize what I've got to give you. I have something that you want and what you need. I have living water. Now for us, if someone said, look, I have living water for you, that wouldn't really mean too much. For those days, living water referred to water that came out of a spring or from a fountain, something that was fresh and flowing. That we would be like us saying, I have bottled water, you know, something nicer than, say, the one out of the tap, so to speak. Maybe not that, or spring water. But that's what it was meaning for this lady. And so she's picturing some spring or fountain and water coming from it. And so that's why she's getting excited as we go on. The Lord used this term, though, to describe something that he had for her. And it's a very good term, because what Christ has is fresh. It's not stagnant. It's living and brings life and refreshment. And what Jesus does here is to begin to reveal to this lady that she has a need for something. He makes her realize that she was in need of more than the water that was in the well. She had a thirst that couldn't be quenched by that water. And Jesus told her what she needed and told her that he could give it to her. You need living water. But notice her response. She didn't quite get it. She was going for the literal meaning, because the woman saith unto her, verse 11, him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle?" And so it's obvious she didn't have a clue what Jesus is talking about here. In fact, I doubt that she even understood that she had a greater need than quenching her physical thirst. And this is like most people who aren't saved. They may feel empty. They may know there's something missing in their life, but generally they don't even know what it is. They may think that this is just what life is about. And when they are told that what they are thirsting after and what they do need in their life is Christ and a relationship with their Heavenly Father, their Creator, most don't understand or believe it. Oh, no, it can't be that. It's something else. They believe that there's something else and they can't believe Jesus could satisfy. I have a friend, I met him a number of years ago, and he was saying to me, "Alan, I have everything that you can have. I have a lovely wife. I have a home that I own. I have children that love me. I have all these things, and I still feel so empty." And he says, "You seem to have got it. What is it that you've got?" Now, when someone says that to you, you think, oh, what a wonderful way to share the gospel. This guy's just ready to pick for the harvest. And so I shared with him. Remember when we went to Sunday school together and we learned about the Lord Jesus? Well, he went to Sunday school, but right away, he didn't have Christian family. And I said, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has saved me and forgiven me of my sin. I have a relationship with him. And after I shared that with him, he said, "No, that's not it. No, there must be something else. And I can't believe that's it, Alan." And he rejected it. And he has rejected it to this time. And so He knew he had a need, but he didn't understand what he was needing. And so the Lord told this lady what she needed, but she wasn't quite getting it either. What is this living water? But then the Lord explains to her that the water in the well couldn't help her. Get your eyes off this water. It says in verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And so this water in this world won't satisfy you, Jesus says, but the water that I give will satisfy forever. And the lady says in verse 15, the woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." So she's still not quite getting that there's something deeper than just the H2O type of water here. She still hasn't understood what Jesus is truly saying. She's saying, "Wow, can I have that water? So I'm never going to get thirsty again, and I don't have to come and bring this pot and collect this water and so on anymore. I want this water." She didn't realize that there was something better than having your thirst in your mouth quenched. She didn't realize there's something where you can have your soul satisfied. And you know, I think there are many people in our day today who just don't understand that what they are truly missing is the Lord Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him. But you know, if you're saved, you should know what that feels like. You can't be saved and not know what this is like. You have to have drunk of the living water and been satisfied within your soul if you're to be saved. And it's a wonderful thing to have your sins forgiven and to know that they're forgiven, to know that you have a relationship with your Creator. He's not someone just way up there, but He is actually your Father and your friend and your close companion. And He's not just someone out there, but He's someone within you. You see, the Lord Jesus, when He was speaking to this lady, He was speaking about the Holy Spirit of God that would come and dwell in those that would believe upon Him. Jesus talks about this living water in John chapter 7 as well, if you'd like to turn over there. This is a time of one of the feasts. We have looked at this a few weeks ago, I think, anyway, part of this chapter. But in John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit, that third member of the Godhead, and how Jesus will give him to those who believe on him. The Holy Spirit, when he dwells within a person, will bear fruit in that person's life. He will bring joy, that joy of knowing you're saved and that you have a home in heaven. He will bring peace, knowing why you're here and where you're going. That's a wonderful thing. A lot of people don't know why they're here and where they are going. As a believer, we can know why we are here, to bring glory to our Savior, and we know where we're going. We can go and glorify Him and praise Him for all eternity. There is that love that the Holy Spirit brings, knowing that you have that close relationship with Him. There is that comfort that we receive in those times of great sorrow and so on. The Holy Spirit is to be the source of all of this. He is to be like an everlasting spring that flows and comforts and gives us all that we need in this dry and barren land that we have to live on. And that's what Jesus was talking about. That's what this lady was missing. And that's what she needed. And that's what all of us need. That Holy Spirit that dwells within. And no wonder there's nothing in this world that can satisfy and quench that thirst. Nothing can substitute the Heavenly Father, the God of all. And because this lady asked for the living water, she said, "Give me this water." Jesus then started to deal with the problem that stopped her from getting this living water, and that was her sin. He does it in a very clever way. In verses 16 to 18, it says, "Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly." And here Jesus cleverly brings up her life, her past, and also her present. He knew her place and predicament. And when he said, "Go call thy husband," that was an opportunity to bring out her life. She had had five husbands, but now the man that she was living with was not her husband. And we know now why she probably came at the hottest time of the day, because she lived a life that would have been looked down on even in our day, let alone those days. And so she was certainly a sinner living in sin, and Jesus began to show her that she had a problem with sin that needed to be dealt with. And what I find interesting is that Jesus knew her story even before she told him. That's good for us to remember. You know, he knew about the past marriages. He knew about the sinful relationship she was in at that present time. He knew about every sin that she had ever committed. He knew her life story, but he still wanted to meet her that day. He still wanted to have time alone with her that day. He still wanted to save her. You know, do you hear many people say, "Oh, I couldn't come to church, the walls would fall down." You know, that's just the way of getting out of coming to church and hearing about their need for a Savior because they're a sinner. Jesus knows about every sinner that's going to come into our church. I'm sure he makes sure they're built so the walls won't fall down when they come in, all right? Preparing for them. But he knows everyone's life story. He knew our life story before he showed that grace and mercy to save us. He knows our life story now when he shows grace to cleanse us from all our unrighteousnesses. That shows us the grace and the loving kindness of our wonderful shepherd. That he knew this lady, yet he still wanted to speak to her. And when he started to deal with her life and say, "Yes, you spoke right, you've had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband," he knew that she was a sinner. It seems that this lady tried to change the subject. She brings up a religious argument to try and dodge it. And says there in verse 19, "The woman saith unto her, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." That's a rather odd thing. She's wanting this living water. He deals with her sin, and so what does he do? "I think you're a prophet. Do you know that our fathers have worshipped God for so many years here, although you Jews think it's out in Jerusalem?" And so now she's going to a religious argument. You see, she's happy to talk about religious issues. She just doesn't want to talk about her sin. And that is the same for every sinner who has not yet confessed their sins to an almighty God and sought forgiveness. They will talk about religion, as long as it doesn't get too personal. They love arguing about, is there a God or is there a creator or is it through evolution? They love debating about these sort of things, but they don't want to talk about their own personal sin. And that's why I think it's very important when we do talk to the lost that you get back to those standards that God has placed for us to reveal through to each one of us that we are a sinner before him, those Ten Commandments, so that we can be convinced of sin. People don't like talking about those commandments because it reveals they're a sinner. They'd rather talk about, is there really a God? And so on. Or is Jesus, or who was Jesus, and so on. And this lady wanted to talk about religious things as well. But not her sin. But the thing is, God has to talk about sin. Because it's sin that is the problem. And people today, they will talk about anything but sin. But it's sin that God wants to talk about. It's sin that separates us from Him. It is sin that will take us to hell. It is sin that is an abomination to God that He must deal with. God has to deal with it. We have to talk about our sin to God if we want to have a relationship with Him and enjoy that Spirit of God and that water of living water. That living water. But we need that. We have to talk to God about that. We don't have to talk about it to a man and confess it to a man, but we certainly have to confess it to God. And as long as we deny it and refuse to deal with it and repent of it, we will be sentenced to hell. Every person has to. And I trust you have. I trust that you have talked to God about your sin and had it dealt with. And Jesus wanted to deal with this. This lady needed to deal with her sin. And after this, then came the crunch time. And that is, would she believe that Jesus was the Messiah? The Savior to come. Remember, we read in John chapter 7, Jesus said, "They that believe on me shall receive the Holy Spirit." That's what he was saying. You must believe on me. And this lady had to believe that Jesus was who he said he was. And look at what we find in verse 25. "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I am, or I that speak unto thee am he." He says, I'm the Messiah who's called Christ. And this is the key that will unlock everything for this lady. Does she believe that this man that she's met at the well talking to is truly the Messiah? Well, it seems as though she didn't need a lot of convincing, because we read in verse 27, "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot." Now that's showing something. "And went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him." And so she did believe that he was the Messiah. He was the Christ that would come to save her of her sin. And this lady was saved. And this lady then went and told others that he was the Messiah as well. And they came to know Christ as the Savior as well. And so there was a wonderful rejoicing. Many received that living water that day. And then she knew what it was all about. She wasn't worried about the well and the water there. She left the pot. She didn't care about that water anymore. She had received the Holy Spirit. Maybe she hadn't received the Holy Spirit. I'll get myself in trouble there. But that comes after Pentecost. But whatever it is, she got the living water through Christ the Savior. And she wanted to tell others. And so this lady who was thirsty within her mouth and soul was quenched within. And that's what Jesus can do for every person. He can quench the thirsty soul. Not just for the lost, though, but I do believe also for the saved. You know, if you're saved, you've received Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. The question I'd like to ask you, though, is, how's your soul at the moment? Would you please turn to verse 14 again? Look at what Jesus said. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." That's what Jesus said would be the case for those who receive Christ as, as their Saviour. Question is, could that be said of you? Is your soul flowing with living water as the Holy Spirit dwells within and comforts and controls you? You know, sadly, I find there are times in my life when my soul gets a bit dry, gets a bit thirsty. I still have the Lord, I'm saved, I have the joy of the Lord, and it's nothing like the thirst that when you're not saved, but the water isn't flowing the way it should, it seems. There seems to be something blocking the fountain. There's some things in the way. And generally it's sin. Sin of some sort that hinders the flow. Sometimes it's laziness. The sin of laziness where I just couldn't be bothered spending that time with the Lord. And I'm not getting that refreshment through the Word of God. Sometimes it's wrong priorities. I get so busy, I just haven't got time for the Lord or serving the Lord. Sometimes it's downright disobedience where I'm committing a sin and the Lord's dealing with me and I'm struggling and I'm fighting with that. But sometimes the water just doesn't seem to flow like it should. And it doesn't take long for the soul to feel thirsty again. Question I'd like to ask you is, I know most of you probably are all saved. So the question is, how's your soul? Is it thirsty? Or are you just overwhelmed with that living water that comes from the Holy Spirit of God? Well, it's there for us if we live the way Jesus wants us to live. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have sent your Spirit to dwell within us. And Lord, I know that our hearts could be so much softer if we allow that living water to, Lord, sink deep down into our soul and our heart and our mind. And then when that soul is soft, Lord, we would see the fruit of the Spirit like we would never see it before. And I pray that you may help us to seek diligently to be softened and to be regularly watered through that Spirit that you have so freely given us. That, Lord, we may be those testimonies for you and enjoy that peace, joy, and comfort that you so desire for us to have. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.